2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we'll read verses 9 through 11, just to establish what I'll be talking about today. Of course, I give you some support scriptures. I have several scriptures that I want to use to include with this, that I can get this point across. And what I want to talk to you this morning about is make it count. I want to talk to you this morning about make it count. And I believe that my wife was talking about this morning that when that song came on about another chance. We talked about that before, that I preached about another chance. And this is basically in relations to some previous things that I've already said about God giving us that opportunity to get it right with Him. But a lot of times we take it for granted of the grace that God gives us and the mercy that He shows to us each and every day. And if you know that He's did that on numerous occasions, I believe in this hour, in this time, and the things that we're going through now, if there's ever a time to make it count, the time is now. The time is now, and we see the things that are going on. And of course, I understand people's logic about not coming to church and not congregating together. We understand that. We know that God is our protection. Yes, it's a disease that's rampant in our neighborhoods and stuff like that. And I believe that God is still a protector and God is still a healer. God will encamp His angels around and about us. I do believe that. And so I can understand how people can be cautious out of fear that they would acquire the virus. And so I'm not going to hold that against anyone. I'm not going to say they need to be doing this and doing that. But I know that what I'm going to do, I'm going to continue to come into the house of the Lord. And I believe it's important because the more you stay away from God, the more that we can fall into carnality.
Yeah.
And I understand that. But we have to be careful because the longer that we're away, I believe that some people will never return. And so it's important that we make it count. Are you there? Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he have done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and our trust also are made manifest in your consciousness. Somebody said, make it count. And I really want to use as a reference scripture, if we can. Can we turn to John chapter 1? Let's turn to John chapter 1. Just want to share a scripture with you today concerning what we're talking about now. John chapter 1. If I can get my little Bible to... No. 1 John. I'm sorry. 1 John. 1 John. 1 John. Chapter 1. First John. Chapter 1. Starting at verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the light was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Somebody say, make it count. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy might be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him no darkness. I just add all. Let me just stop right there. One thing about us carrying around the gospel and getting that opportunity to share in fellowship with our brothers and our sisters that may not know Jesus Christ and what he really did for us. That this gospel was manifested in the earth, in the land, and it was manifested toward us. And the ones that have it have an opportunity to make it, to have an influence on other folk. Me and my wife was looking at this. Have anybody seen the movie Breakthrough? Nobody ever seen that? I encourage you to watch that movie. It's a true story. And one of the things that got my attention was that it was this guy, he was a fireman. And this young kid, he was adopted into a family. I'm not going to tell you the whole story, but anyway, he fell into a hole of ice. Him and his friends was playing on the ice, and they was in, as a matter of fact, they was in Detroit. And he fell into the water, and he was underwater for 20 minutes. Wow. Now, you know that being underwater for 20 minutes in a frozen pond, in a frozen lake, it was frozen on the top. But a voice spoke to this man. He thought it was his captain, told him to go back. And they had a stick, and he stuck it in the ground, and he was moving it around, and he had heard a voice to tell him to go back. And he thought it was his captain that was giving him instructions, but actually it was the voice of God that was speaking to him. And this man that he was speaking to, Jay, he didn't even believe in God, come to find out later on. But he heard a voice. And this voice instructed him to move his stick to where he could catch hold to the boy that was under the water for 20 minutes. And they pulled him up out of the hole. I'm going to let y'all look at the rest of the story. But what I found that was interesting in this particular thing was that he was exposed to God. Even though God was all around, it was evidence of God all around, but he was exposed to God through something that happened that only God could have instructed him to do. And as believers, when we get an opportunity to share the gospel with someone that might not believe in this God that we serve, this awesome God that brought us out, this awesome God that delivered us, this awesome God that opened up doors, this awesome God that made ways out of no way, this God that's able to comfort us when we're going through things, and God, this God that's taking us and helping us through the struggles that we may have, this God, and we expose it, we got to make it count. Somebody say, make it count. And so when you think about this, even in 1 John, when he was talking about this, he says, for the light was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. And so now, through this manifestation that we have this gospel, every day that we live, people of God, we have to make it count. It's essential that we make it count, that we don't turn back, that there's a great falling away and the church is in trouble because people are not getting together anymore, and people are not talking about the gospel, the same gospel that's been manifested to us, that we can't turn back, we can't go back, Jay, but we have to make it count every single day. Because it wasn't done in vain. Whatever we have to do to fellowship with one another. I heard my wife say earlier, do not forsake the assembly of the saints as some do.
You see what I mean? And I thank God for such a small congregation that we can come together and still have church, because we're not a mega church. We can still, and if we have to spread out, if you got to wear a mask, if you got to get you some hand sanitizer, whatever it's going to take for us to come together, because we have to make this count. And so I was thinking about in Acts chapter 16. I just want to support what we're talking about this morning about Make It Count. But I encourage you to look at that movie. It's called Breakthrough. And I get to talking. I've been done told y'all the whole movie. I already done told you one scene, but you have to wait on for it to happen. And you'll see what I'm talking about as it goes on through the movie. Amen? Chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Let's look at verse. I want to start around. Let's start around verse 30. Y'all remember Paul and Silas, don't you? Y'all remember Paul and Silas was in prison, and the keeper of the prison that they was in prison, and it started around verse, it started before that, but I want to pick up on around verse 30. And it says that, and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Somebody say, make it count. Because if you read above that, you have to realize and understand that this man was actually getting ready to take his own life because he thought all of the prisoners had got out. You remember when there was a great move of God that the people of God was praying, and then there was a shaking in the jail, and the jail doors opened and chains fell off and all these kind of stuff because they had extra security on Paul and Silas. But here in verse 30, he brought them out and he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. I believe that this keeper of the gate, of the jail, that he made a decision to make it count. That he thought that he was going to get into a lot of trouble because the prisoners, specifically Paul and Silas, that they was in this city and they were spreading the gospel of the Lord. And they was caught up in stocks and bonds, and they had extra security all around them. And there was a move of God because of prayer. And even in the prayer, they made it count, because they came together collectively and they cried out to God, and God did something miraculous, and he shook the grounds of the prison and they were able to come out. But it was a man that had an opportunity to make it count. And not only did he make it count for himself, but his whole household got saved. It was a great transition that took place because he knew that his life depended on it. And he heard the word. Look at that. He heard. Somebody say he heard the word. They ministered to him in the word. And then he was washed. He was separated. And then he was able to get his whole family saved this way. And see, a lot of times we walk around and we're saved, and we got family members that say, and sometimes we miss out on opportunities to make it count, that we can minister to somebody. I was talking to one of the brothers on the prayer line, and what made me start thinking about this was, he said that he had spent 14 years in prison, and he was a crack addict, and all these things that he had done in his life. But God said he had a praying mother. He had came up in the gospel, but he never did make it count because his mother always cried out for him. And on one day, it did happen when he came out. He said, I don't want to live like this no more. But he had an opportunity. It was a man that had a son that was going through the same struggles that he had. And this is just recently. He said Peter, and they were standing around, and his father, he reached out. His father was making a camp. He said, "I want you to talk to my son." He said, "Sure, I'll talk to his son." And he wasn't trying to beat him over the head with the Bible. All he did was share his testimony and his story with him. He made a camp, and the boy started crying out, and the son started crying. This is a true story. And he started crying out, and the boy said, "I just want to change. I want to do something different. I want to give my life right there by the barbecue pit." He said, "We can do it right here. I done been through the same things you've been through." But the brother made it count. He got a great opportunity to witness to him. Then, after he shared his testimony, then he started witnessing to him about the gospel. That's good news in itself of what Jesus Christ did for him, and that you're not alone. And you think when you're on the lonely, when your father tell you can't be here because you're taking stuff out the house, he say, but he loves you anyway, and God will never leave you or forsake you. He was telling you about this transforming word because he had to make it count. The young man's life depended on it. And God set it up so pretty to where he had to make it count. Because this man was in a dire situation. And he dropped down on his knees and he cried out to God. Just like the keeper. Do y'all remember in chapter 8? Can we go to chapter 8 in Acts? You know that's where the church actually started at. In Acts, right? When the church was actually established. But let's go to 8 and let's go to verse 35, and I want to read down to 39. But you remember the eunuch. He was riding back from his destination. And the Bible, if you go all the way up to in the beginning of the book in chapter 8, he was riding in his chariot. And you have to understand there's different types of eunuchs. And this particular eunuch, he had to be a high-ranking official. And he had to be on official business for the king. And you know, sometimes eunuchs, what happens to them is that everything get cut off. I don't have to go into detail about that, do I? Certain things get cut off to where some eunuchs are over a harem of women in the king's palace. And what it does is it takes away the desire that the king feel like he would be loyal not to mess with his harem. But this particular eunuch, he had to be a different type of eunuch that, and not saying that he didn't get nothing cut off, but as he was riding in his chariot, coming back from official business, he was reading out of the book of Isaiah chapter 53. Yes, and he ran across Philip. Oh, here it is. Somebody say, make it count. And Philip heard him reading out of the book of Isaiah. Yes. And he ran up to, somebody say, make it count. He ran up to the chariot. I don't know if y'all getting it today. But he ran up to the chariot because he wanted to make it count. Because this man was caught up in the middle some way or somehow. It wasn't that he hadn't heard the good news, but he was reading out of Isaiah 53. And here it was that Philip ran up on him right around verse 35. And he says, then Philip opened up his mouth. He was trying to make it count right there. He said, he opened up his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Somebody say Jesus. Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I don't know what the eunuch was going through. I don't know what his hesitation was from that time, from up to this time. But it had to be something that he was considering, or he wouldn't have been reading out of the book of Isaiah. And I believe on this particular encounter, he said, man, I got to make it count. So he would inquire to a man of God that knew the word of God, that shared the word of God, that guided him to help him make it count. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. He said, hold up. We need to stop this chariot if you're going to make it count. And they went down both in the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. Did he make it count or not? And as I was researching this, it's not in the Bible, but they said that the same eunuch went on and started a ministry. Somebody's ought to say, make it count. Philip ran up on this man, heard him reading out of the book. And sometimes what happens is we encounter people that need a little influencing, that need a little push, that need us to make it count on their behalf. They have to make the decision. But ultimately, they have to make it count. This man heard the word, and it's God's plan for the gospel to be heard everywhere. It was the right time for the harvest, and the eunuch made it count. Can I give another example? Can we stay in Acts? We turn up Acts today. Can I give another example out of Acts? Acts 26. Let's go to 26. I'm almost done. I think you get the picture about make it count. Let's go to Acts 26. And let's start around verse 19. Y'all remember King Agrippa, don't you? King Agrippa and Festus and all them in this particular text. And it says, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. And y'all understand that this is Paul talking to King Agrippa. And he was giving actually his testimony and the assignment that he was giving unto the Gentiles, because he had to make it count. And he said, for these causes, the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great. See, that's why it doesn't bother me. It could be small, it could be great, but we still got to make it count. We still got to get this gospel out. We still got to share what God has said unto us. He says, saying none other things that those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice. Here go Festus. Somebody say, here come Festus. Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. Paul was so deep in the word because he understood the assignment that he had, and that he had to make it count everywhere he go, on every missionary trip, specifically to the Gentiles. And so he carried around this gospel, and he understood the position that he was in and what God had brought him out and gave him a new vision. See, because once he gave him a new vision, everything that Paul did going forward, he made it count. No matter if people was trying to kill him, no matter if it was an arrow on his arm, he shook it off. No matter if he was shipwrecked so many times, no matter if he was beaten on his back, he wasn't going to let from making the camp. Whoever he talked to, he'll pull folk up. You remember he pulled up Peter. It doesn't matter because everything that he did, he had to make it count. And he was making it count for the gospel's sake. He didn't compromise and he never went back to the way that he was that after the transformation took place on the road to Damascus. And so he said, man, you got to be mad, man, much learning. He said, man, you've been digging in this word. Don't ever let nobody tell you not to study the Bible, that it don't take all that. That praying all the time, it don't take all that. That coming to church, it don't take all that. Don't listen to that, because here it is. He was saying, man, all that stuff you doing, it's making you mad like you crazy. But he said, I am not mad. Most noble Festus, still respectful. Look how respectful Paul is. But speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth all these things, before whom I also speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. It wasn't done in secret. So it wasn't that this is a secret about this gospel, that it's out in the open and even the king knows about it. But King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said to Paul, almost thou persuaded me to be a Christian. Somebody say, make it count. It don't matter the resistance, people of God. It doesn't matter what other people are saying, that it don't take all that. It doesn't matter, but what we have to do is that we got to make it count for ourselves, that we can be an influence to other folk. And Paul, by being in this word and doing the things that he made, this man, this king, that he almost persuaded him. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day. See, Paul was trying to make it count. I'm not only trying to persuade you, King Agrippa, but I'm trying to persuade everybody that hears my voice. And he says, we both also and all together, such as I am, accept these bones. Paul had to understand it, that he had to make it count. And Paul was persuading King Agrippa to make it count, just like today people are reluctant to say yes. The evidence is in their knowledge being shared. Kinfolks, friends, classmates, co-workers, and so on are evidence of conversion. Yet they, we, us, won't make it count. It's like going over in that corner. It's like hiding that word up under the bush, and when you can talk to your co-workers, or you can talk to your family members, or you can talk to your other church members that's in the church that might be going down the wrong way, that you have an opportunity to make it count. Paul said, man, I got to share this gospel. And then by him sharing the gospel like he was so enthusiastic about it. But yet it's still Festus saying, don't take all that. It do take all that, especially in a time such as this. Can we look at one more thing in Acts? Go to Acts chapter 4. Verse 12. Very familiar passage. Because people think they can go any kind of way, and there's only one way. It says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. People go, we have to make it count. We have to make it count. So, I want to talk to you in conclusion concerning David. Y'all remember David when he was out in the field and his father called him and He said, man, I want you to go and check on your brothers. He said, they in battle. You remember they was in battle with the Philistines. And the Philistines had a large soldier, a giant of a man that was putting fear in the hearts of the soldiers. And they tried to make a deal. You know, we can't make a deal with the devil. They was trying to make a deal with Israel about, you put up your man and we'll put up our man. And David happened to come on the scene, and he seen that they were cowering behind the bushes, and they was afraid of this man, this giant of a man that was talking before them, and he was defying the living God. And David started saying, what's going on? And his brother got mad at him, telling him, don't you got something else to do? Can't you go tend to the sheep? Y'all know the story. And he said, yeah, you ain't nothing but a shepherd boy looking down on him. But he was filled with the power of God, and he understood who his God was. And everything that he did, he made it count. He pulled the sheep out of the bird's mouth. He defeated a lion and all that kind of stuff. And God gave him the power, which actually increased his faith to know that he could believe in his God. And he was ready to make it count at any given time. And when he came up on the scene, he looked at the opportunity. He said, this is my opportunity to make it count. And Goliath was talking all that noise. You know how sometimes the devil can talk noise to us and we won't even open up our mouth. But David, he was that type of a man of God, a little boy. I don't know how old he was. And they said that he was a lad, but I think that he was a little bit older than what we think in our mind, that he was just 12 years old or whatever. But I think he was a young adult at the time, but they still called him a lad. And what happened was that he was talking, and he heard this man. He said, man, what's going on? And his brother would start talking noise to him. He said, man, we're on the same team. See, as believers, we have to understand that we're on the same team, and we got to quit going against each other. But every opportunity that we have, we got to make it count, whether it be in our fellowship, whether it be in our prayer for one another, whether it be in us encouraging one another, whatever the case may be. But he told him, man, isn't there a cause? He said, you're up here talking noise to me, but this big old man over here, this devil of a man, the one that wants to kill you, the one that keep threatening me, say he going to cut my head off and feed me to the fire, you sitting up there hiding behind a bush, but I'm going to tell him about my God, because I'm going to tell him about my God, because I want to make it count. And this man kept talking to David, and David said, who we going to pick? And David said, I'll do it. He said, I'll do it. He said, he came to the front and he said, I tell you what, this is an opportunity for me to make it count. He said, you're not going to do nothing to me. This is what I'm going to do to you. And it only took one shot. Only one shot and he made it count. He had five opportunities in his bag, but it only took him one chance to make it count. And the Bible says that he got one smooth rock. He made it. Somebody say he made it count. And the Bible says that he pulled that thing back, that slingshot that he had, and he let that thing go. And the trajectory of it, the aerodynamics of this thing, it went and it struck him in the head, and everything that David said that he was going to do to him. And he went over there and he took this man's own weapon and cut his head off. Somebody say he made it count. I don't know what kind of shot you need to make. I don't know what you need to do. It's just like a man with the basketball. It ain't number 3 seconds left. But he ain't got number one shot left. And he got to make it count, because if he don't make the shot, the team lose. They won't even be able to make the go to the playoff. But he take that ball and he look at that goal. He look it all the way in. He remember all the training that he got. Don't ever forget all the training that you got. Don't never remember how God brought you out. Don't never forget you how God gave you revelation to use in a time that you can make it count. And he dropped back behind the three-point line, because if the game they was losing by 1 point, he didn't have to take a three, but he went on and took a three anyway, one number 3 seconds left. And he says, 3, 2, 1, and he let that thing go, and it went up in the air. Y'all ain't never seen that on TV? And then he made that shot. My God. When will you make it count? God brought you out. Make it count. That relationship, make it count. Your marriage, make it count. Whatever it is, that you're going to have the opportunity to do. I encourage you, people of God, as long as you got breath in your body, do whatever it takes to make it count. Your life depends on it. Your family life depends on it. Whatever the case may be given, make it count. Praise God. We thank God. Jay, you can put on some music. We thank God for you today. Thank you that you was able to be here to hear a word of God. I hope you got the message.